Hello and welcome to the eMoney Avenue monthly podcast, providing tips, strategies and inspiration in helping you to make money online. I'm your host, Glenn Shepherd, and I'd like to welcome you to the eMoney Avenue podcast number 2. 6 ways to avoid sabotaging your online business. There's a trend that I've observed online, that is, people not treating their online business seriously. Business is business. Just because it's online, among the casual attitudes of social media, etc., doesn't mean that it should be treated in the same casual way. You need to establish, to begin with, just what is the goal of your business. So if I was to ask you that, what is the goal of your business? You may say, well, it's to make money. Wrong. Now, of course, making money is part of the equation. But think of this. What is the actual purpose of your business? Think, for example, of a music teacher. Let's say somebody who's teaching students to play the piano. They'll have their students come for their lessons, and the aim of those lessons will be to teach the student music, to teach the student how to play piano. The teacher will be there to help, support and guide the student, and the aim of those lessons will be to help the student to improve, to help them to have success in their learning of the piano. The goal of those lessons isn't to make money. Of course, the piano teacher expects to receive money in exchange for teaching the student, but that's not the actual goal of the lesson. The goal of the lesson, the goal of the course of piano lessons is to teach the piano, to help the student, to give value, to be a good teacher. So the money aspect is just part of the equation, and it needs to be exactly the same way with your online business. So I'm going to cover 6 areas in which you could end up sabotaging your business. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but these are 6 things that I've noticed happen a lot on the internet. So the first one is dishonesty. Now, it should go without saying that this is a no-no. Yet, dishonest or unethical strategies are not only practiced by some, but they're actually taught and packaged and sold as viable money-making methods. Just to give you one example. Let's say you're searching to find some information about a particular product. Now, let me ask you this, how many times have you been taken to a page or a YouTube video that has absolutely nothing to do with what you're looking for? And why did you end up there? Because the title of the page or video or whatever contains the name of the very thing you're looking for. In fact, there are entire YouTube channels that contain lots and lots of identical videos promoting the same affiliate product. But each video has different titles and different keywords related to what's currently hot on the market or what's currently just been released. Another technique that I've seen many people use is using words such as scam in order to generate interest or to rank in the search engines or on YouTube. Now, put yourself in the position of a seller who has affiliates promoting for them. Would you, as a seller, be impressed to know that people are promoting your product, affiliating it with words such as scam? You may be inclined to not want those people promoting for you. So if you're an affiliate and you use either of these techniques in promoting people's products, don't be at all surprised if you find that people stop accepting you as an affiliate for their products. You see, using any kind of unethical or dishonest practices will come back to bite you eventually. The second point, being misleading. Now, this is kind of linked with what we've just talked about. They may come across sales copy for certain products that isn't actually dishonest in that it lies, but nevertheless, it's dishonest. For example, let's say that you want to find ways to drive more traffic to your website. So you do a search in a search engine, and you come across a product that says something like, "Discover this awesome technique for driving huge volumes of highly targeted traffic." Well, that sounds like just what you need, doesn't it? So you take a look through the sales copy. It seems really convincing, so you decide to give it a go and you click the buy button. And then you find the kicker. It's all about driving traffic to Amazon offers. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong with the product, but at the end of the day, it was misleading. If you're wanting to find some general methods on driving traffic to your blog, and you find that you've bought a product that's all about driving traffic to Amazon products, then this product's useless. And why wasn't it made clear in the sales copy that it was specifically for Amazon? Well, it's likely because the seller knows full well that traffic is a hugely popular niche, so they know that they'll attract all kinds of buyers who are generally looking for traffic, irrespective of the fact that their product will only actually be of any use to a small percentage of those traffic seekers. Now again, this is a technique that I see a lot. Sure, the product itself may be fantastic, but if you're not upfront in your sales copy and you're intentionally misleading and being deceptive, this will eventually backfire on you. Remember, your reputation is everything. Don't treat your prospects like idiots. Otherwise, you'll find that you'll get treated in kind eventually. Point number 3, venting. Now, we can all get frustrated and have bad days. That's perfectly understandable. But does your email list really need to hear about it? Sure, you can use a bad experience or a frustrating experience as a marketing tool. Of course, you can use that to help people to learn from that. But don't use your list simply as an outlet for you to vent your frustrations. As a subscriber, I don't want to open an email from a marketer whom I trust just to be greeted with a ream of four-letter expletives that, at the end of the day, have nothing to do with me and nothing to do with the marketer's business. All right, I get that he's frustrated and annoyed at something, but I don't need to have his toilet-mouthed rant in my inbox. My solution? Where's that unsubscribe button? Point number 4, lack of respect. The bottom line is, this is a business, not a school playground. Now, it could be that the lines have become somewhat blurred between online business, social media, and general internet use, especially with it becoming easier and easier to create, set up and run things that just a few years ago would have required a lot of money and specialist skills. So what we find is all and sundry can and do release products online, and therefore you get a hugely broad spectrum of people from all walks of life interacting with each other on pretty much an even playing field, something that just wasn't the case until relatively recently. But whatever the reason, whatever the explanation for it, behaving like a spoilt brat has no place in business. Now, a practice that I see to an alarming degree on forums, social media and blog discussions is playground-style bickering, name-calling, sarcasm and other unattractive behaviour. Now, you may tolerate and even engage in this kind of overly casual behaviour on gaming forums and such like, and that might be perfectly acceptable and fine. But if you want people to take you seriously, respect you as a business person, and ultimately buy from you, then you need to behave accordingly and appropriately. At the end of the day, you can behave in whatever way you do so choose. After all, it's your business and you can do whatever on earth you want. However, don't expect your customers to stick around or your profits to continue going up if you choose to behave like an idiot. Now, I'm not saying that you should roll over and take whatever people dish out to you when they're being offensive or trying to cause trouble. Of course, it's right and proper to defend yourself, but there are ways to do that. I'd just like to relate to you an experience that I had a couple of years ago. This kind of encompasses everything that we've spoken about so far. Now, a couple of years ago, I purchased a piece of software from someone who at the time was one of the biggest names in the internet marketing industry. Once I got the product, I realised that the sales page was completely misleading and it bore little relevance to the actual product that I received. You see, the product was incomplete, it didn't come with any of the promised training and did nothing other than to simply drive automated junk traffic to my website, generate automated forum comments and, possibly worst of all, some of these comments were labelled as coming from me, which might not have been a problem if it hadn't been for the downright vulgar and offensive language that was being generated. Downright obscene language some of the comments contained. Now, anyone who knows me knows that this is not the sort of language that I use. So would I really want to have my reputation tarnished in such a way? Would I really want people coming across these comments and thinking that they're really from me? Now, I wasn't the only person to experience this. There were a lot of complaints about this product, and not only about the product, but the way that this person dealt with the complaints. Now, I remember one particular person who voiced his dissatisfaction and complained about the product and about this seller. As a result, he had an insulting image of him posted online by the seller. Furthermore, the sales page that I bought from, I think, off the top of my head, I think there were 9 variations of this sales page, and all contained a different story about the way this software had supposedly been created, none of which were connected with each other at all. And the particular page that I bought from was soon taken down and replaced with an obscene, sexually graphic picture. Now, just imagine what this could do to the reputation of any affiliates who were unfortunate enough to be using that particular affiliate link to promote this product. The affiliates would likely have been blissfully unaware of this. Now, is that any way to run a business? Now, when I contacted this seller's help desk about all of this, of course they denied all knowledge, and they said they didn't know what I was talking about, even though I'd included the very link to their own sales page that had now been replaced by this graphic image in the email. But no, they claim no knowledge. Yeah, okay, whatever. But what's worse was that the link was still up months later. So, evidently, this particular marketer and his team just couldn't care less. Now, this kind of blatant lack of regard for customers, affiliates, and heck, even their own reputation, showed a huge amount of immaturity, not only as a person, but as a business owner. Now, it's interesting that I don't recall having seen or heard anything about this individual for some time, so it could be that his true colours have finally been realised. Now, as I said before, behaving dishonestly or unethically will always come back to bite you eventually. Point number 5, shifting the goalposts. Read the fine print. Has anyone ever said that to you? I'm sure that most of us have come across an appealing offer at some time that seems fantastic, but then when we take a close look and examine the terms and conditions, we find that it's not all quite what we thought. Now, that's not to say there's anything dishonest or misleading, it's just that the offer is subject to the fine details laid out in the terms and conditions. But what about when there is no fine print? In other words, when an offer is made and it says such and such, then what is it that we should expect? Well, we should expect what is offered, should we not? However, what sometimes happens in the world of internet marketing is that the marketer advertises some kind of offer, but when a customer tries to take advantage of that offer, for example, a discount or some kind of bonus, they get told, actually, no, that doesn't apply to this particular offer, and then they're told that it only applies to some other offer or is subject to some particular condition. This, all in spite of there being no mention of it in any advertised material. Now, to be fair, usually, rather than being intentionally misleading, although this is sometimes the case, it's just a simple oversight. But for the sake of maintaining good customer relations, it would be far better to realise the mistake and to honour what was offered, rather than trying to wriggle out of it by making excuses and stating terms and conditions that were not advertised in the first place. Aside from the good relations aspect, it could lead to some unpleasant legal action if a customer decided to take the matter further. Ultimately, your customers are of paramount importance and you need to look after them. Now, if that means swallowing your pride, admitting an error, and even taking a loss at times, then so be it. Accept it, learn from it, and move on. But again, don't take your customers for idiots. Point number 6, poor support. Now, this is a complaint I see time and time and time and time again about online products. As a business owner, product creator, etc., you should have a good support system in place. Your customers are the lifeblood of your business and therefore should always come first, period. So it should go without saying that you need to ensure that you have an effective support system in place, whatever that may be. Now, obviously, there will be times when there's a backlog or when things go wrong or when you're away, but you need to ensure that there's something in place at those times so that your customers or subscribers aren't left hanging wondering what on earth's happening. Now, most email systems have an autoresponder function that can be switched on temporarily to send out an automated message, for example, if you're away. Also, if there's any downtime of any of your services, then it would be common courtesy to make your customers aware of this. Perhaps you could have an emergency temporary page installed on your web host that can be quickly and easily switched to if ever you need to do so. Or if something does happen, you could send out an email to keep your customers apprised. At the end of the day, how long would it really take to do that? A couple of minutes maybe? Really, what's a couple of minutes for the sake of maintaining good relationship with your subscribers and your customers? Ultimately, you should always maintain a good line of communication between yourself and your customers or subscribers. They should always know of the various ways in which they can contact you, and you should always keep them up to date with any and all important information. Aside from it being good business sense, it's just good manners. In line with that, have you ever noticed that products or websites sometimes just go offline without warning? Now, no matter how long something's been online, if you know that you likely have people who have paid for access to something, it's courtesy to contact them to advise of its closure. For example, just last year, I bought access to an online tool. I used it a few times, and then after more or less 4 months, it just went offline. No warning, no explanation, no apology. Now, I'm sure you could appreciate I wasn't impressed. And at the end of the day, that's put me off from ever buying from this person again. Now, just to illustrate this, imagine buying membership, say, to a gym, for example. Usually a gym membership might be for a year or so. Now, let's say you've bought your membership, you've used the membership a few times, and you turn up after 2, 3, 4 months or something, and you find an empty building. Everything's gone. Just completely empty. No indication as to what's happened or where they've gone. And you learn later that the owners simply decided to close. Perhaps they've opened a new business up the street, but you've had no phone call, no letter, not even so much as a sign in the window of the building. How do you feel at that point? Do you feel that you can trust them? Would you want to buy from them again? Would you recommend them to other people? Would you be inclined to promote their products? I think it's highly unlikely if you're treated in that way. So the bottom line with all of this is you should be looking out for the best interests of your customers first and foremost. If you're doing that, then you'll be upfront and honest with them at all times. You won't try to trick them. You won't try to bluff your way through things. You won't sell them rubbish. And you certainly won't scam them. You will always treat them with respect, you will be courteous, you will be informative and supportive, always giving the best value that you can. Now, sure, mistakes can be made, and it's always going to be room for improvement. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I'm sorry, or I made a mistake, or there's a problem. Your customers will be much more likely to respect you for that, rather than if you make a habit of using misleading or cloak and dagger tactics or by simply ignoring them. Thanks so much for tuning into this podcast. I'll be publishing a new podcast on the third Thursday of each month, so make sure that you bookmark my blog and subscribe to be alerted to when each one is live. I'm always happy to answer any questions that I can, so feel free to drop me a line via my blog at glen-shepherd.com. Until next time, this has been Glen Shepherd with the eMoney Avenue podcast. Take care and bye-bye for now.